Hello, and welcome to Rivers of Unicorns. My name is Sotoye Odubeme, and today I am joined by my co-host, Amy Harry. Rivers of Unicorns is a virtual accelerator that supports innovative ideas and startups in underserved communities, setting them on a path to exponential growth. We are supported by the Kaywood Brown Foundation and powered by NetOps. Today, we're starting a new two-part series titled Doing Business in Nigeria 101. Joining us in this discussion is a special guest, so be sure to stay tuned. But first, let's hear our news highlights for today. Over to you, Amy.
On the international scene, Spotify CEO backs Tesla rival after pledging to invest over $1 billion in European moonshots. In our local news, Facebook plans to open a Lagos branch in 2021. And lastly, from our cohort, Listening Sessions currently holds in these cohorts: New Haven Innovation Hub, City Tech Hub, House of Bow, the Kaywood Brown Center, and Startup Bolo. That's it for our news updates.
I hope you all are having a lovely day. As I mentioned earlier, our discussion topic for today is Doing Business in Nigeria 101. To join the conversation, visit our website, www.riversofunicorns.com, or connect with us on Instagram or Facebook at Rivers of Unicorns. During this segment, we'll be joined by Soala Jumbo, the Managing Solicitor at Larry Jumbo & Co. It's a pleasure to have you here. Welcome.
Welcome, Soala.
Thank you, Sotoye. Thank you, Amy. It's a pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity to be on this program.
So over the past few weeks, we've discussed opportunities that lie in the chaos created by COVID and the benefits of having a social entrepreneurial outlook when trying to prefer new business solutions. So today, we'll focus on how an aspiring entrepreneur can set up a legal business entity in Nigeria and the toolkit we consider necessary to have a successful outcome. Before starting your business, do you really need to create a business plan?
Well, that I think is always helpful. It's always helpful to have a plan, you know, before setting out on any venture. You know, the advantages are myriad and numerous. Is it essential? Is it compulsory? I don't think it is, but it's always helpful to have a plan. So yes, I think it's a good idea to have a business plan before setting out on any business venture.
Awesome. So, Swala, why don't you tell us what the legal requirements to do business in Nigeria are? We know there are lots of things, so why don't you walk us through all of that?
Doing business in Nigeria, well, first of all, the Companies and Allied Matters Act requires that, you know, you be registered in Nigeria, you know, as a business. Now, there are various forms of business entities. So maybe I'll just go through each of them or some of them, if that's okay. The most popular, I guess, is what we call the company. Now, there are various forms of companies. We have a limited liability company, which is which could either be public or private. You have the unlimited company, and so on and so forth. Now, prior to this year, there were basically two types of business entities. The first is the company, which could be limited or unlimited, as the case may be. And the other is the what we call the business name. The business name now could be a sole proprietorship, or it could be a partnership. A sole proprietorship being that it's made up of one person as the entrepreneur, while a partnership consists of more than one person coming together to own the business. There was also, prior to 2020, the incorporation we do under what we call Part C of the Companies and Allied Matters Act, which is, you know, the incorporated trustee. But I would not class that as a business entity usually, because the objectives of such entities are not profit making. There is another type of company also called the company limited by guarantee. Now, it will be too technical perhaps to get into the details of, you know, that sort of company, but these are basically the forms of entities that existed prior to 2020. Now, I refer a lot to the year 2020 because this year, the National Assembly passed a new Companies Act in Nigeria. It's been in the making for quite some time, but for so many years, decades even, we've been operating with the old Companies Act. But finally, about a month or two ago, the National Assembly passed a new Companies Act. Now, that act created several new forms of business entities, so to say. In addition to some of the ones I mentioned earlier, this new act has now created what we call, or what it calls, the limited liability partnership, and also the limited partnership. Perhaps I'll give the features of each of these entities subsequently.
Okay, great. So I will go from the perspective now. I'm a business owner and I'm thinking of starting a business, or I've got a business idea. I want to register and I have all this legal jargon kind of swirling around in my head. What are the first steps that you would advise that I take?
Okay, well, first of all, we would have to settle on what sort of entity you want to register or you want to operate. And I would want to know, you know, what perhaps your intentions are. Like I said, there are some entities that are strictly not for profit. You know, if your objective is to maybe create change strictly without making profit, you know, doing some charitable work and things like that, you know, you could register a charity or a similar entity. Now, if your objective is to make profit, then I could give you the features of, you know, the various forms of companies, and then you would be in a position to choose which is ideal for you. The major difference between a company and what I call the business name before, or what could be called, you know, a perhaps partnership or limited partnership, is the concept of separate legal personality. Even as a layman, some of us might have heard, you know, that term. Now, that simply means that a company is different, is distinct and separate from its owners, so that if a company does something, in law, it is not the owners of the company who did that thing. In other words, the owners are not liable for, in quotes, the deeds of the company. But that is not the case with respect to the other form of business and enterprise, which is the business name or partnership or limited partnership, as the case may be. In that arrangement, the owners are deemed to be the same as the business. Now, I'll give you a practical example. If I run a hair salon, for example, as A, B, and C, and Co. hair salon, so to say, and a customer was to walk into my salon and I happen to destroy, so to say, the customer's hair. Now, that customer could sue the business and perhaps get damages of, let's say, 5 million naira. In the case of a business name, that customer can say, who owns this business? And it will be me. Now, the customer can go after anything that belongs to me, Swala Jumbo, because the business is the same as me. If I have a car, the customer can say, oh, in the name of enforcing their judgment of 5 million, they can come for my car. If I have a house that is separate from that business, the customer can come and levy execution on my house. If I have shares in a company elsewhere, the customer can levy execution against my shares because I bear personal responsibility for the liabilities of that business. But in the case of a company, where the company is deemed to be the one liable, the owners of the company are not the company. So except there is land, for example, that is held in the name of that company, the person who has a judgment against that company cannot come and say, oh, Swala is the owner of this company, and therefore I am going to take his land, which is held in his name. So there is that dichotomy, you know, between the owners of the company and the company itself. So that is the basic, or that is the key difference between companies and, you know, the regular business names. Now, by virtue of the new changes in the Companies Act, which I said was passed this year, we have a new form of business entity, which is called the limited liability. It's different from anything we've had so far in Nigeria because it's like a business name, what we called the business name before, you know, it's like a business name or an enterprise, as some people refer to it, but with separate legal personality. You know, so it's new, like I said, probably 2 months old or thereabout, and we are yet to see how everything works in practice. But these are some of the different business and structures available to you, an entrepreneur or an aspiring entrepreneur. To answer the question directly, you know, as an entrepreneur who comes and says, you know, what step do I take? You know, it depends on what you want to achieve and the protections you want to have. It's usually advisable, especially when you're going into business that might expose you to certain forms of risk, you know, to go in as an incorporated, you know, or as a company so that you limit your liability and you limit your risk, you know. But there are certain types of businesses that traditionally, you know, usually operate as an enterprise or as a business name and don't then have that protection that comes from, you know, the separate legal personality that is conferred on the traditional company.
Thank you. So typically in the investment and business world, most founders are always trying to get investors. And investors, when they're looking, especially with tech companies, they tend to look at, oh, is your business idea proprietary? Is there something unique about it that can give us money? So with that in mind, founders in general tend to think along the lines of intellectual property. So when would you say that a founder should start considering registering their intellectual property? And if they are ready to do so, how can they go about it?
Well, the first step is to understand the various types or forms of intellectual property or other proprietary assets, so to say. The most popular, or I guess the most popular, you know, will be copyright, which a lot of people have a fair idea about, you know. But apart from copyright, you know, there are other forms of property. But copyrights exist automatically by law once the work qualifies for copyright. So there's a lot of misunderstanding or misapprehension. People feel that they need to do something or they need to register something for them to have copyright. But that's not really the case. The law allows copyright in several forms of works, some of which are literary works, artistic works, musical works, you know, and such works. Literary works, you know, dealing with maybe written, you know, like books, poems, things like that. You know, musical works, as the name implies, you know, dealing with, you know, works that pertain to music, you know, sound and tune and, you know, those sorts of works. Artistic works, you know, like maybe drawings, paintings, things like that. There are also protections that are given to things like sound recordings, broadcasts, and then, you know, your normal films, which the law, I think, refers to as cinematograph films, and so on and so forth. So there are those protections. Now, another key point to note with respect to copyright is that the law does not protect the idea. What the law protects is the expression of the idea, the form in which the idea is expressed. Now, that might not be easy to understand, but I'll try to break it down a little bit. Now, you could have an idea for a novel, you know, and you could perhaps discuss it with someone. The law does not protect that idea which you have shared with someone. But when you actually get down to writing the novel, which is the expression of the idea, then automatically that work is conferred with copyright. The same with music, the same with every other thing. The law does not protect ideas. What the law protects is the expression of the idea. So just to go back to what I said before, once the work has been created, then copyright automatically applies. You don't need to do anything more. But there are also procedures for registration or depositing, you know, your copyright table material, you know, and then maybe getting a certificate of deposit and all that, which is just for maybe purposes of evidence and all that. But even if you don't do that, even if you don't go through those steps, if you've done a work that qualifies for copyright, automatically you have copyright. Another form of property which might also be important in the context of startups and so on would be the patent rights, you know, which are rights that are usually given to an entrepreneur or the owner, you know, or the applicant for a patent, you know, to exploit his work or his product, you know, for a period of time, you know, to the exclusion of every other person or apart from people that he might license or authorize. Now, patents usually come with respect to processes or products, you know, machinery, things like that. You know, usually it will be given for things that are novel, new, and result from, you know, some sort of inventive activity. You know, the law specifies different features, you know, that would qualify something for a patent. You know, I might not go into all of them. Some of them might sound a bit technical, but basically you have the idea. I give you an example just to illustrate. You know, take the concept of the microwave oven, for example. You know, when it first came on stream, it's new, it's novel. You know, that was not, people have been cooking, you know, and heating up food and things like that, but they hadn't been doing it in this way. So it was like a new application. Now, things like that, the telephone, things like that, that, you know, a novel and, you know, have industrial application from inventive activity and all that are capable of being patented. So there's a registry for patents and all that in Nigeria. You feel you have something patentable, you make the necessary applications, you know, and if your product or process is deemed to qualify for a patent is then granted to you as the owner to exploit that thing, that product or process over a period of time, you know, so that no other person can do it except you say, or except with your permission, you know. Then another important one is the trademark. Now that's is very basic. In fact, that probably applies across board to all sorts of businesses and entrepreneurs. This is because the trademark refers to like a mark or a symbol that identifies your product or your services or your business. It's like your brand, you know, and it distinguishes your brand or your products, your business from those of others, you know, competitors or other businesses that, you know, might exist, whether in your line or in other lines. Now, it could be something as simple as just your name. For example, Coca-Cola trademark is one of the most recognizable trademarks. You know, it could also consist of, you know, some other symbols like maybe something graphically created, you know, your logo, your, you know, whatever else feature, you know, is part of your brand identity. This can all be trademarked. You know, the process too has to do with, you know, applying to the registrar of trademarks, and, you know, they'll do a search, you know, find out if your trademark conflicts with maybe any other existing trademark, so that one person does not have Coca-Cola and the other person wants to register Coca-Cola, you know, it could, you know, cause, you know, conflict, and it could cause people to think that your product is the same as the other man's product. So you go through all that process, they do their search, you know, and then they acknowledge your trademark, and they acknowledge your application, and at the end of the process, they grant you the trademark if it's successful, you know. So that's a key, because probably any business could have a trademark. So that, I think, is one of the most important proprietary interests, you know, an entrepreneur can have. There are other things. There's industrial designs and things like that, but I think that these I have mentioned are the most basic, that an entrepreneur would come across or would have need for in the course of carrying out or operating their businesses.
Fantastic. So you've talked us through what it takes to create a business from a legal perspective and the different kinds of companies. Now, as you know, this program is called Rivers of Unicorns, and a unicorn is a private company that is valued at $1 billion or more. So here is a fun question. If you were a unicorn, which would you be?
Well, if I was a unicorn, I think I would be SpaceX. The reason being that I admire the entrepreneur behind SpaceX. I admire his attitude, his groundbreaking approach to everything he sets out to do, his innovativeness, and the idea, like I said, that, you know, we've always been taught to aim for the skies and for the stars, to reach for the stars. And I think that that is literally what SpaceX is doing, providing solutions for space transportation, opening up new vistas, talking about the colonization of other planets, and bringing innovation into space travel, radically bringing down the cost of space transportation. I think for those reasons, if I was a unicorn, I will be SpaceX.
Fascinating. That's all the time we have for this motivating discussion. Amy, why don't you tell us what book you're recommending for our listeners today?
Awesome. Thank you, Satoya. So the book I'm recommending today is titled Creativity, Inc., Overcoming the Unseen Forces That Stand in the Way of True Inspiration, written by Disney and Pixar animator and current president, Ed Catmull, and self-help writer, Amy Wallace. Swala, have you read this book?
No, I haven't, but I hope to read it soon.
Okay. So I am going to tantalize you and our listeners with the reason to read this book. For most people, when you hear the name Disney or Pixar, I'm sure you immediately think animation, which in turn implies creativity. So it's not surprising that Ed Catmull is the author of this book. While the name in itself is self-explanatory, the reason I'm recommending this book to you guys is twofold, two major reasons. The first reason being that it's a story of a man with a vision, so to say. He, as a young child, he had that idea and that passion for what he wanted to be. And he just didn't keep it in the pocket of being an idea. He was intentional with all the decisions he made, and he steered himself on that path to actualize that vision he had. The second reason is that it shows people the need for them to take a chance on themselves. In the world, we are typically fixated on having that job security and things like that. But he found himself at Lucasfilms and he still dared to start Pixar. And even though when he started Pixar, he had certain ideas of what he wanted Pixar to be, he was willing to reinvent the idea into what we now see Pixar as. So those are the two major reasons why I believe people should read this book. Because if he didn't do all those things, you wouldn't have the partnership between Disney and Pixar, and there are lots of cartoons that wouldn't have come to our screens. So Swala, thank you for joining us. I hope you really decide to read this book. And I hope listeners out there decide to read the book as well.
Yeah, thank you, Soala. It was a pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you, Satoni. Thank you, Amy. The pleasure is all mine. I will read the book, and I'm sure I'll enjoy it. Thank you all very much.